Well, if you guys will remain standing for today's reading, we're going to read Psalm 100, and I'm going to ask that you kind of join me in reading this all together today. This will be up on the screen, and join me when you're ready. Here we go. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come into his presence with singing. Know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him. Bless his name. For the Lord is good. His steadfast love endures forever, and his faithfulness to all generations. This is the word of the Lord. All right, you guys have a seat. I can just picture, we were reading that, and I was listening. I was like, man, this is what we're going to do in heaven. Like in glory, the people of God all saying this corporate prayer, and that's awesome. I love hearing us all read together. Good morning, by the way. My name is R.C. Ford. I'm the campus pastor here, and I see so many guests this morning, every week, but especially this morning. I'm glad you're here. I'm thankful for you. And I don't know where you are in your life or what brought you to this place today, but I'm thankful. I'm thankful for the Lord because I know he works things. And so we hope that you feel welcome here at our church and would maybe come see us after and connect with us and do that blue card thing he was talking about. But go ahead and open up your Bibles to Psalm 100. We're going to be launching off of that today. One of the ministries at Life Point Church is called CLC, and it's a Christian Learning Center that we house and we do. It's a pre-K little administration where we service young children, give them Christian education. It's a part-time kind of thing for preschoolers and all those things. It's a great ministry. It's a great outreach. And is one of the fruits of the generosity that you have in our church too. And so this past week, I was over there and they were doing a Thanksgiving Day program at CLC. One of my grandsons goes over there. And so we jumped in there just to watch these little preschoolers give thanks. And they sang some songs. I think one of them was called I Want to Be Thankful. And then they sang that song, you know, the song of God our Father, you know, that kind of song. We bow our heads to thank you. We bow our heads to thank you. That song, I would sing that to you, but every time I start singing, Benji gets a little nervous about losing his job. He's like, hey, if RC starts singing, anyway. But I was sitting there, and my heart was just full seeing these little children give thanks to God. And I was thankful for the teachers who are teaching these little children how to say thanks and how to give thanks to God. Because I think we would all agree that is not natural for children. Can we all agree here? Parents are like, amen to that. We know that is not a natural thing. It's not easy for kids to do that. What is very natural for them is probably a lot more grumbling, gimme, gimme, gimmies, whining, a lot more of just the just winching and whining. Like that's just the natural. That's the natural posture. And so children, they have to be taught and trained and practice giving thanks. So parents, that's a good thing to do, by the way. Teach your kids how to say thank you. All right, that's a great practice. But this is not just good parenting advice so we can have well-behaved children. That's not why we teach them that. In fact, this is actually a good practice for all of us. We all need to be taught and trained to say thank you. See, we are God's children, and he has given us innumerable reasons to give him thanks, but it's not natural and it's not easy for us to do that easy. In a flawed world, a fallen world with flawed people in it, like you and like me, it's a lot harder to do those things. For us, it's like our children. It is a lot more easy to grumble than to give gratitude. It's a lot more easy to forget than to remember to give God praise. It's a lot easier for us to winch than worship. It's a lot easier for us to count our complaints instead of numbering our blessings. Even in our prayer, individual prayer time, or even when you do group prayer with your D group or your life group, isn't it so much easier to go to the petitions than the praises? It's my group. You just, okay, we got 30 things. And we're like, hey, anybody got anything to praise? And we're like, so much easier to do those things. It's so much easier to focus on what we don't have than what we have been given in God. We too have to be taught and trained to say thank you, to give thanks to the Lord. I love what John Piper says about this. Gratitude is the echo of grace reverberating in the hollows of the human heart. I love that. We need to be taught these things. Enter in the old 100th is what they call it. Psalm 100. It's the only psalm that is given the title, Give Thanks to God. It's the original Thanksgiving hymn. It was sung by the Israelites in their temple worship. This would have been a song that would have been in Jesus' personal hymn book. The song has been sung throughout the church ages. This is not just a psalm that calls us to give thanks once a year on the last Thursday in November. This is a call to give thanks every day in every sphere of our lives. Matthew Henry said, thanksgiving is good, but thanksgiving is better. Thanksgiving is better. Psalm 100 is a call not just for Christians to give thanks to God. Notice right out of the gate, it is a call for all of the earth to give thanks to God. So this is not just a private tribal deity for a specific group of people. This is not just a call for a specific group. This is a call for Israelites and non-Israelites, the churched and the unchurched, the right and the left. Every single human on the face of the earth is called to give thanks to God. Super important. Super important. You see, the Lord is the creator of all people. So all people should give him thanks. In all of the earth, the goodness of God and the knowledge of God can be seen, right? He's given us those things in just general revelation. So if that is the case, then all the earth should do what it ought to do, and that is to give thanks to God. By the way, this is why we, as a church, that's why we live sent. So we passionately talk about living sent, because we go with the gospel, preaching the good news of the gospel to the neighbor, the next door neighbor, and to the nations, to all people here and over there as well. Because why? We want all people on the earth to say thanks to God, because he deserves to be thanked by all people. Psalm 100 tells us also how to give thanks. So there's a few things here that we're told. How do we do this? Well, number one, the first way that we do that is by shouting. In the original language, when it says make a joyful noise, that original word noise actually means a shouting, to shout. Now, this doesn't mean to run around like a crazy person, just screaming and yelling everywhere. That's not what that means. But it does mean to verbally give thanks to God as we go everywhere, privately in prayer, publicly, everywhere we go, every domain, every place we go and live our lives, we're called to give him thanks verbally. We also obviously come together here once a week on the Lord's Day to all come together with all of our joyful noises. That's what the Lord's Day does. Shouting is one of the ways that we say thanks. We also give thanks by serving. It says here to serve with gladness. So serving God, the Lord, by serving other people is one of the ways that we say thanks. It's how we say thanks to God. We serve other people. And we do it, of course, not begrudgingly or with a lot of groaning. Okay, I'll do this today. Lord told me to. Like, not that. Not this melancholy mourning type of serving. But we do it with glad hearts. With glad hearts. Look no further, of course, how God served us with great gladness. He was a happy God who was happy to give us Christ. He didn't begrudgingly serve us. He was happy to do it. So he is worthy of being served by happy people. Serving with happy hearts is how we say thanks to God. We also give thanks to God by singing, it says here. By singing. Come into his presence with singing. This, of course, is a private singing, and it's a public singing. It could be singing in your car. It could be singing at your home. It could be singing at your church. Singing, thanking God for everything, especially singing, thanking him for Jesus. I mean, we do that every week in here. But every single saint is a member of the choir. You're in. Like, there's no tryouts up here. We don't have tryouts for the choir. We're all a part of the choir because that's what saints do. They sing because singing is giving thanks to God. I hope you do that here at our church. Men especially. I want to call up our men, obviously. Sing with a lot of depth of your voice. We want to hear you and accompany the beautiful voices of our ladies as well because that's what saints do. So shouting, serving with gladness, and singing. Now let's get real for a minute. Let's just be real. Sometimes I don't feel like doing those things. Maybe you would be agreeing with me. I don't feel like doing those things on Sundays, and I don't always feel like doing those things in my life. I don't always feel like making a joyful noise. What I like to do is I feel like I want to make a lot of other noises, you know, like grunting and grumbling. Those are the noises that I feel like making sometimes, right? I don't always feel like serving. Oh, I'm tired. I didn't sleep good last night, so I feel a little sluggish today. I'm not feeling happy today. I'm hurting. Like, sometimes my back hurts. I feel grumpy. I hurt my hand a couple of weeks ago in a bar fight. But it's just like, no, I'm kidding. I didn't. But I hurt my hand and I'm tired. Like, oh, I'm talking about making noises. My hand hurts. Sometimes I feel angry. I just kicked the dog on the way out the door. I get in my car and I'm behind somebody that's just driving so slow. That's the way I feel sometimes. If I told y'all all the things I feel in a week, you would question my salvation. And I probably wouldn't be up here. But here is the deal. And if you're being honest, you're right there with me. You don't always feel like doing all of those things. But get this. David's thankfulness in this psalm is not tied to how he feels. It is not tied to his circumstances or what he has. In fact, he's probably penning this psalm from a cold cave, hiding from bloodthirsty enemies that are trying to take his life. And he's writing this. This is what he's writing. He's not feeling thankful because he has a plush palace or a fresh plunder that he's just got. He's not, I got a new sword. Like, it's not why he's, that's not why he's feeling thankful. It's like he's not safe. He's not feeling thankful because he got a new house or a new job or got a raise. He's feeling thankful not because of what he feels, but it is because of what he knows. Because of what he knows. Church, this is, we're going to talk about this today. Thankfulness, the foundation for thankfulness is not in what we feel or what we have. It is in what we know. Right here. Got to start right here. That's the pattern of the psalm today. If we're going to give him proper thanks, if we're going to engage God in this way with joyful noises, serving with gladness, if we're going to do all of these things today and sing and do all these things, we have to know two things. We have to know what David knew. Two things. The Lord is God, and the Lord is good. Those two things, I didn't make those up. They came right from the text. I'll show you in a minute. But let's dive into this idea. This is a call to thanksgiving, to do all those things based upon the strength that the Lord is God and the Lord is good. So let's look at these two ideas. That's the map we're going today. The Lord is God. Look with me at verse 3 again. Know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Thankful people know that the Lord is God. Thankful people know there is a God. They know that there is a God and he exists and they are not God. That's what thankful people do. Thankful people know that there's only one true God. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one. They know that he is the only God on the earth. There is no other rival. There is the higher power that you hear people. It's him. He is the Lord. He is God. He's the reason for everything. He is the one who created the earth, not the Big Bang Theory. He created the earth. And he also created humankind, not a silly fairy tale monkey evolution. He made the earth, he created the earth, and he controls the earth. He's got the whole world in his hands, right? There's another free song for you right there. I'll just kind of tease you a little bit. Because of that, because he is God, he deserves thanks and praise by all people. All people. Thankful people also know that they were made by him and that they belong to him. The Hebrew name for the Lord here is Yahweh, which is the personal covenant name that he made and gave to the specific people of Israel. So here, when he says made by him, belong to him, he's not talking about every person on the earth. Yes, he created all people, but here he says, hey, I created a people out of all the people. I set these people apart. Hey, I made a group of people. I made a covenant with these people out of all the people on the planet, people of his very own, people, the people who Christ died for, the church, the ones who believe in Jesus, they belong to Jesus. We just sang a song, I belong to Jesus, I belong to him. Thankful people, they don't just sing that, they mean that when they sing that. They know that they belong to Jesus. They know that they don't belong to themselves. They know that their lives and their very bodies don't even belong to themselves. They are thankful to belong to God alone. We are His. He made us. This is a beautiful thing to be thankful for. And what else did He do? He made us to be His people. His people. That's what He says here. Look at 1 Peter 2:9. He echoes that. He says, "But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for His own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. Once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy." He made us a people. We didn't make ourselves a people. He did that. We are His people. Above all the people on the planet, we are the church. And that is something to be thankful for. Sheep. Thankful people know that they are the sheep of His pasture, right? In Christ, we have this privilege of being called sheep, His sheep of His pasture. And this sovereign God that we've just talked about is also a shepherd. He's a shepherd. Psalm 23 does a great job of picturing and giving us, we just sang Psalm 23 a minute ago, right? Gives us this great picture of our sovereign shepherd. He loves us, He cares for us, He feeds us, He nourishes us, He makes us lie down when we're too busy to lie down. He leads us in paths of righteousness. He protects us in the shadow of death, not death, but the shadow, the things that make us feel like we're going to die, the shadows, He protects us. And He even prepares a table in the presence of our enemies. He is our great shepherd, and we are His sheep. And you know what sheep get? Sheep get the kingdom of God, not the goats. Matthew 25, 32 through 34. "Before Him will be gathered all the nations." This is the future judgment. "And He will separate people from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And He will place the sheep on His right, but the goats on His left. Then the king will say to those on His right, 'Come, you who are blessed by My Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world.'" It is awesome to be a sheep of His pasture. And it is only by His grace and His mercy that we're called His sheep. He's the one who gathers the sheep. He calls the sheep. And this is a blessing. And our proper response to knowing that God is creator of all things, including our own self and our own lives, that He is the controller of the universe, that He is a covenant keeping God, who loves us, who says that we belong to, that we're made in His image, His sheep. The only proper response to knowing that is when the heart starts to flutter for thankfulness, to give Him thanks. It starts with what we know, and then it moves to the heart. The second thing we're going to look at today is that the Lord is good. We've seen that the Lord is God, and now we're going to see that the Lord is good. Look with me at Psalm 100, verse 5. It says, "For the Lord is good. His steadfast love endures forever, and His faithfulness to all generations." So we not only need to know that the Lord is God, but we also need to know that the Lord is good. The Lord is good. Other religions, if you think about apart from Christianity, all other religions, they call people to worship so their fake God will be good to them. That's the premise of all other religions apart from Christianity. Oh, I hope I've done this so then my fake God will be good to us. That is not the Christian way. We thank God, we worship God because he is good. He is good. And I think this is one of the most noticeable stumbling blocks for a lot of people, atheists, skeptics, unbelievers, and maybe even Christians sometimes, if we're honest. People see God as this egotistical dictator like Thanos or something. Well, that's just that's the way I see God. He's like that. Or he's this this spiritual highway patrol officer. And all he's doing, he's just chasing me all the time. He's trying to give me a ticket for everything I'm doing wrong. He's trying to kill my joy and my life and all the freedoms I want. He's trying to lock me up. That kind of view of God either reveals you don't know God at all, or you have a very distorted view because your mind is not yet informed about how good the Lord is. He is good. He is good. He is kind. He is gentle. He is lowly. He is so many good things. We don't have time to talk about it today. Psalm 34:8. Oh, just taste and see that the Lord is good. And blessed is the man who takes refuge in him. David tells us some more reasons why the Lord is good. If we look here in verse 5 again, it says that he's good because his steadfast love endures forever. Endures forever. You know, people, us, we tend to love people initially that are, we think they're lovable, right? Think about when you dated whoever, and I you're so lovable, I love you. And that's the way we start our relationship, mostly with the people who we love. And yeah, we keep loving them and loving one another until they give us a reason to not love them anymore. And then what often happens? We leave them. We leave them. That's our love. Oh, it is not steadfast at all. It's very fickle. It's very fickle. It's very feely. It's very emotional love that we have. But that is not so with the Lord. His steadfast love endures forever. And it begins, of course, when he looks upon us, people that he should be absolutely disgusted and repulsed with. Our sin has made us so ugly. What he should do is run the other way. But that's not what he does. His steadfast love, he's drawn to us. He comes to us, sets his love on us in Christ. But it gets better. Because even after then, we're often very unlovable people. We do things that are very unworthy of his love. But what does he do in response? His love endures forever. He never leaves. He never forsakes. His steadfast love endures forever. His love is not based upon our performance. His steadfast love is based upon his promise. And that is something we should all be very thankful for. David also says that he's good because of his faithfulness to all generations, is what we see here. He's reminding us that God has been faithful in past generations. We can just look at the Bible. He's always faithful. Like, we, on the other hand, are not very faithful, but he always is faithful to do what he says he's going to do. He's a promise maker and he's a promise keeper. And he's done that in the past. God is currently being faithful to this present generation. He's not left us or forsaken us. He's perfectly faithful today. And he has also promised to be faithful to the future generations, the hope of the future worshipers, our kids, our grandchildren, and so on and so on. He will be faithful to all generations. The Lord is just, he's just good. His commands are good. His provision is good. His providence is good. His protection is good. His patience is good. And his pardon is good. Our whole lives, the Lord, who is good, is just constantly chasing us down with good. We sang Psalm 23. Surely goodness will follow us all the days of our life. This is like Jesus is this, he's got this goodness, it's him, and he's just pursuing us all day long, every day of our life with more good things. With more good things. And even it's better because when we fall, mercy shall follow us as well. That's how good he is. He is a good, good Lord. And of course, the greatest good that this world has ever seen, and the greatest good that the Lord could ever do, is giving us his son. That's the greatest good. Nothing. You could take the best good in your whole life, babies being born, your wedding day, whatever, the dream vacation, nothing compares to the goodness of sending the one and only son, Christ. You see, why we need to see how good this is. Let me see if I think the psalmist can help us understanding how good it is. You see, Jesus is the one who opened up the gates to God. Because of Adam's sin in the garden, go back Genesis 3, and because of our sin, the sin that is inside of us from birth and our nature, the gates of God and to God are closed to us. We can't get in. We cannot get into his presence. The gates are so high, you can't ever climb it with your good works. If you try, you'll die. These gates that separate us from God are insurmountable, and we in our own power will never break through these gates. This is the good news of the gospel. Because God sent forth his one and only son to open up the gates to God. His life, his death, his resurrection for all who believe in that gospel. We get this beautiful invitation to come into his courts in thanksgiving and in praise. The gates of God are now open, but you can only go through Jesus Christ to get to God. He is the gate, and there is no other way in. This is how good the Lord is to us. The foundation, church, I hope you are tracking. The foundation for thanksgiving is not in what we feel. It is not in what we have. It is in what we know. It starts there. Then the informed mind is to produce the inflamed heart. Once we know that the Lord is God and the Lord is good, then what begins to happen? We are humbled and our hearts start to be welled up with thanksgiving. And what do you do when you have a thankful heart? You make joyful noises. You serve him and others with gladness. You sing his praises everywhere you go. This is how it works. We have to know who God is, and then it stirs up a thankfulness that surpasses all circumstances. Paul said in, I think, 1 Thessalonians and Ephesians 5:20, that we are to give thanks to him in all circumstances, all things, always. So I don't know what you have going on in your life. I don't know how you feel today. I don't know if you feel cold or tired or hot, worn out, painful, got a headache, a backache, anxious, worried. You got something in your life that's happening and you're just like, I don't know what you feel like. I don't know what the circumstances of your life are today. God cares about your feelings and he does care about your circumstances. But none of those things can keep the Christian from being thankful to God, because it is not in what we feel or what we have. It's in who he is. The Lord is God and the Lord is good. This is what we know. We give him thanks with our lips and we give him thanks with our lives. We're going to practice this today. I thought this might be an appropriate way to respond now that we have the who gives thanks, the how to give thanks, and the why we give thanks. Now let's just practice this together. So if you would put your Bibles up and anything that you might be tracking in your hand, we're gonna practice giving thanks three ways. Three ways. We're gonna do it through the supper, we're gonna do it through singing, and we're gonna do it through saying a prayer together. And so deacons, would you please come forward if you are on this hour as helping to serve communion with glad hearts. I'm sure y'all want to do that today, all right? So y'all go ahead and come forth if you can. The Lord's Supper. This, of course, is the way, one of the ways the Christian says thanks to God for the gift of Christ. Christ's body, Christ's blood, for the forgiveness of sins, and so that we may have eternal life, that makes all of these things possible today. So here's what we're gonna do. If you have tasted and you have seen that the Lord is good, and you know the Lord is God, and you know the Lord is good, and you have trusted in the Lord Jesus for your salvation and your life, this is a meal that says thanks to God. And so if you've not yet done that, or you have young children in the room that maybe have not yet done that, we would ask that you would hold off. You have some other steps that you need to take in your life than just taking a little cracker and some juice here. It's not about that. So we want you to hold off on that. But we would love to talk with you after service if you have any questions about that. So we're going to pass, and I'm going to ask that you would, during this time, meditate on two things. I want you to first meditate on sin. All right, so this is the idea of our shortcomings, our failings, our fallings, these things. Have those things come to mind first, because if we don't think about those things, then we have no reason to celebrate and say thanks for Christ. And so do both of those things. Meditate on sin and then quickly get to a place of celebration. Give him thanks, and then I'm going to come back up and I'm going to lead us all taking the Lord's Supper together.